Welcome back. In this masterclass, we're building cassette washed pads for drum and bass at 170 BPM using Ableton stock devices. The goal is a pad that feels warm, worn, slightly unstable and wide, but still behaves in a fast, busy mix. Think of it like fog behind the drums and bass. You feel it more than you hear it. Before we touch any devices, pick a tape era. This sounds like a small decision, but it actually keeps you from stacking random lo-fi moves that don't add up. If you're going for a hi-fi late 90s cassette vibe, you want less wobble, cleaner stereo, and a gentle roll-off on top. If you're going for a worn portable, like an 80s cheap deck, you want stronger flutter, more mid-range congestion, narrower stereo, and more noise. I'll aim slightly worn but musical, which is usually perfect for rollers and modern jungle. Now set your project tempo to 170 BPM. Create three tracks, one for drums, one for bass, and one for pads. Name the pad track Pads Cassette so you stay organized. And just so you've got a target in your head, we'll aim for a simple DNB arrangement. 16 bars of intro where the pad carries atmosphere, 8 bars of build where we automate tension, and 32 bars of drop where the pad supports the groove, ducks out of the way, and gets darker. Step 1. Build a clean pad source. Clean before dirty. That's the rule. On Pads Cassette, load Waveedable. Analog is fine too, but Waveedable is quick and flexible. For Oscillator 1, start with a sine or basic shapes and lean triangle-ish. You want smooth, not buzzy. Oscillator 2 can beat a saw, and set it down an octave, minus 12 semitones, to add body without getting sharp. Turn on unison but keep it controlled. 2 to 4 voices, and an amount around 15 to 25%. If you crank it, it'll sound huge solo, but it'll smear in the mix later. Low pass filter, LP24. Put the cutoff somewhere like 500 Hz up to 1.5 kHz depending on how dark you want it, and add a little drive, like 2 to 5. This gives you that gentle thickness before we even tape it. Now set the amp envelope like a Riedel pad, attack around 80 to 250 milliseconds so it blooms instead of clicking, decay around 2 to 4 seconds, sustain down a bit, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB, and release long, 3 to 6 seconds. You want it to hang between hits in the intro, but not swamp everything in the drop once we sidechain. For extra movement, use the filter envelope subtly. Slowish attack, 300 to 700 milliseconds, release 2 to 5 seconds, and keep the amount small, like 10 to 20%. The vibe we're going for is alive, not wobbling synth pad from Trance 2002. Now chords. In DNB, minor 7ths and sus chords are your friends, because they sound emotional without sounding cheesy. If we're in F minor, try F minor 7, that's F, AB, C, EB, or BB sus 2, BB, C, F, or DB major 7. DB, F, AB, C. Keep your voicings mostly in the F2 to F4 range. Too high and the hiss gets annoying. Too low and you fight the bass line. Cool, that's your clean instrument. Step 2. Tape preamp drive and soft control. After Waveedable, add saturator, then glue compressor, then EQ8. And here's the mindset. Gain staging is the whole trick. Cassette vibes come from multiple stages doing a little bit, not one device doing everything. So after each device, level match. Bypass it, unbypass it. If it gets louder, turn it down. If the only reason it sounds better is loudness, you're getting tricked. On saturator, choose soft sighing or analog clip if you want it slightly rougher. Drive around 3 to 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then pull the output down so the level is about the same with the device on or off. This is where the printed warmth starts. Add glue compressor next. Use an attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto or about 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Set the threshold, so you're only getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. We're not smashing it, we're just making it feel like it went through a Riedel stage of hardware. Then EQ8 for tape style shaping. High pass it first, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 120 to 220 Hz. Be serious about this. Pads do not get to live in the sub-lane in drum and bass. If it's muddy, do a gentle dip. Minus 2 to minus 4 dB around 250 to 400 Hz. That's the zone that loves to steal snare body and make your whole mix feel clogged. Then do a high shelf down. Minus 2 to minus 6 dB from about 6 to 10 kHz to mimic the top-end roll-off of tape. Optional but powerful. If you want that tape head bump feeling without muddying the drop, you can add a gentle bell boost around 90 to 140 Hz, like plus 1 to plus 3 dB, with a Q around 0.7 to 1.2, and then still keep your high pass after that. It sounds backwards, but it works. you get the perception of weight without actually letting sub-energy through. Step 3. Wow and Flutter, the pitch and stability that sells cassette. There are two philosophies here. The beginner move is detuning the whole pad equally, and it gets seasick fast. The better move is keeping the pitch center mostly stable and letting the edges move more than the core. In other words, let stereo, reverb, or a parallel layer wobble more than your dry mid. For a clean controllable approach, add chorus ensemble. Put it in chorus mode. Amount around 10 to 20%. Rate slow, like 0.15 to 0.35 Hz. Width 80 to 120% and mix 15 to 35%. This should feel like motion, not like an obvious chorus pedal. If you have max for live, we can get more realistic. Add shifter after chorus ensemble and set it to pitch mode. Keep fine at 0 for now. Mix 100%. Drop an LFO and map it to shifter fine. Make it sine, super slow rate, 0.10 to 0.30 Hz, amount plus or minus 3 to 9 cents. That's your slow drift. Then add a second LFO for flutter. Rate 3 to 7 Hz, amount tiny, plus or minus 1 to 3 cents. This is the stuff your ear reads as mechanism, not effect. And if you don't have max for live, stay with chorus ensemble and keep it subtle. You can still get a convincing result. Step 4. Add noise floor and cassette air, but do it in a way that's felt, not pasted on. Make a new track called Pad Noise. Load operator. Use the noise oscillator. White noise works. Low pass it around 6 to 9kHz so it's not fizzy. Match the amp envelope to the pad. Slow attack, long release, so it breathes with the chord. Then add auto filter. Use a band pass somewhere in the 2 to 6kHz range with gentle resonance. That makes it sound like hiss through a system rather than clean digital noise. Add a saturator after. Drive 2 to 5 dB, soft clip on. Now the most important setting. Volume. Set that noise track way down, like minus 30 to minus 18 dB. Yes, really. If you can clearly hear hiss as a separate thing, it's too loud. Here are the glue trick. Group pads cassette and pad noise into a group, then put a glue compressor on the group doing maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. It makes the noise feel embedded into the pad instead of sitting on top. And if you want it even more recorded, make the hiss breathe. Put a gate on the noise layer and sidechain the gate from the pad. Fast attack, medium release, and set the threshold so noise rises only when the pad plays. That's a huge realism boost. Step 5. The pro move. Cassette warble via resampling. This is how you get instability that doesn't sound like an LFO. Create a new audio track called Pad Print. Set audio from to your pad track and record 8 to 16 bars of sustained chords. Or freeze and flatten your pad track if you prefer, but recording gives you more freedom. On the audio clip, turn warp on. Use complex or texture mode. In texture mode, set grain size around 20 to 40 milliseconds. Now open clip envelopes and find transposition. Draw tiny, imperfect drift across several bars, like plus or minus 5 to 15 cents. Occasionally add quicker little wiggles, like the tape catches for a moment. Keep it small. This is one of those moments where subtlety equals expensive sounding. Step 6. Make it sit in a 170 BPM rolling mix. This is where the pad becomes a DNB pad instead of nice pad I made. First, sidechain. Put a compressor or glue on the pad group. Turn on sidechain and feed it from the kick, or from the full drums if you want the pad to groove with the break. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release 80 to 140 milliseconds. Adjust the release until the pad breathes in time with the groove. Set threshold, so you're getting around 3 to 6 dB of reduction on hits. That's usually the sweet spot for it moves without it disappears. Next, bass collision control. Pads and bass often fight in the low mids, but the real rule is, the bass owns the low end. If your bass is huge, just high pass the pad at 180 Hz and call it a day. If you want it more dynamic, use multiband dynamics gently. Set the low band to about 0 to 180 Hz and apply downward compression so it clamps 1 to 3 dB when the bass hits. Subtle. You're just preventing buildup. Now, arrange it like a pro across sections. Intro, 16 bars. The pad is allowed to be emotional. Bring it up a bit, make it wide, let the texture speak. Use reverb, ideally hybrid reverb. Decay 4 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay 15 to 30 milliseconds. Low cut the reverb around 200 to 400 Hz and keep mix 15 to 30%. And keep sidechain lighter here so the intro feels floaty. Build. 8 bars. Automate tension. Slowly bring the filter cutoff down so it darkens toward the drop. Increase pitch drift slightly. Increase noise slightly. And do a width move. Narrow it before the drop. For example, automate utility width from 120% down to around 90%. This creates that pulling inward sensation. Try this extra move. The last one bar before the drop. Giuamano moment. Automate utility width to 0% and reduce reverb send. Then at the drop, snap back to your normal width, but keep the pad darker. The contrast makes the drop hit bigger without needing more loudness. Drop. 32 bars. The pad becomes supportive. Turn it down. Darken it. Tighten stereo for mono safety, like 70 to 100% width. Increase sidechain so it pumps behind the drums. If the snare feels like it lost weight, notch a little around 200 to 350 HE on the pad. That zone is the classic snare body masking area. And remember this, indeed NB, pads are fog, not the headline. Drums and bass are the headline. Now a few common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that waste hours. If you go too wide, it'll sound lush solo but collapse in mono and smear the snare. If you forget the high pass, the pad will fight the sub and your drop will feel weak. If you overdo wow and flutter, your chords turn seasick and amateur fast. If your reverb isn't filtered, the low-end bloom will mud up a 170 BPM mix instantly. And if the pad stays bright in the drop, it steals attention from hats, breaks, and top loops. Let's add two advanced, but very usable variations. Variation 1. Mid-stable, side warbly. This is how you get wide pads that don't fall apart in mono. Put an audio effect rack on the pad group and create two chains. On the first chain, put utility and set width to 0%. That's your mid-chain. On the second chain, put utility and set width really wide, like 200%. That's your sides chain. Then put stronger chorus, drift, and reverb on the sides chain only. Now, when you collapse to mono, you keep a stable core. In stereo, it feels melted and nostalgic. Variation 2. The stopping tape transition into the drop. Resample the pad to audio, and in the last half bar before the drop, automate the clip transpose quickly downward. While it falls, freeze a reverb, either using hybrid reverb freeze or pushing the reverb to 100% wet briefly. Then hard cut at the drop. It's instant tension, and it's very DNB. Quick practice exercise to lock this in. Write a two-chord loop in a minor key. For example, FM7 to DB Maj 7. Build the pad chain. Wavetable into saturator into glue into a Q8 into chorus ensemble. Optional shifter plus LFO, and utility for width control. Add your noise layer and group it. This IO version is shortened for playback.